Thank you very much, Evie. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Cross-Community Working Group on Use of Country and Territory Names at CLDs meeting on the 14th of January 2015. On the call today, we have Gregory Sagian, Carlos Gutierrez, Annabeth Lang, Mayana Tajik, Laura Hutchinson, Ron Sherwood, Cheryl Longdonall, Yodi Paraguiri, Yap Akohis, Maximo Zober, Paul Schindler, and Daniel Kalchev. We have an apology from Marika Koenigs. And from staff, we have Barbara Swinkle, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for purposes of the transcription. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Paul.
Thank you very much for that. And my name, for the record, is Paul Schindler. I'm one of the co-chairs of this working group from the CCNSO side of things. I acknowledge that we have three other co-chairs, Annabeth Langer, Talos Royal, Gutierrez, and Heather Forrest, and I'm taking this call on the grounds that we're largely revising some of the activities as a study group that we have had previous to this. We're looking over that group's work, so hence it's something that I should probably lead. We've got a couple of simple agenda items today. It is our first meeting for 2015, so I don't expect it will necessarily be a long one, but I just really wanted to get everybody up to speed and working on the key issues that we have for the group for the duration of this year. Welcome aside, we were supposed to work through a review of a summary paper that staff had sent around to everyone, which was, and I hope everyone has, it was a simple one-page executive summary of work that we had done, the study group had done today, and it's basically a breakdown of three areas that the study group had looked at. And they're some of the issues, they're the first issues that we were going to look at. I'm sorry, I'm not in the Adobe room at the moment, so Lars, Bart, is that up on the collective screen at the moment?
Yes, it is, Paul.
Thank you very much. That's the same piece of paper I have in front of me. So basically, there were three deliverables, and again, I'm telling a little bit of a historical story here, but it may be beneficial for members of the working group who were not members of the study group, and that is that there were three deliverables. One was to provide an overview of the current policies and processes within ICANN for as they relate to country and territory names, and that may be with regard to new GTLDs, IDNs, the rules regarding CCTLDs, etc. The second deliverable was to provide an overview of the strings that were particularly associated, so looking at country and territory names and what way they may be represented. And then the third deliverable was any issues that might arise if you take the policies and processes that ICANN has with regards to country and territory names and apply it to any permutation of country or territory name you might find, and what would happen. The focus of this group and the focus of this call and our immediate work for the next few months is to look at that third deliverable. So are there any issues, and what are the issues that are likely to arise in connection with applying policies to current or proposed strings? As a starting point, I would note that, as it says in the presentation there, it should be reiterated that there is no authoritative list exists for the definition or application of country and territory names. So as it currently stands, there are a variety of rules, a variety of policies when it comes to the use of country and territory names. And the purpose of this executive summary was to lay out for everyone what was what we were thinking in terms of the first few categories. So that includes two-letter strings, so predominantly CCLD codes, three-letter strings that might be similar to those, and then also the long and short form names of countries and territories. When we were working through this as a study group, we felt that these were the easy targets for country and territory names because they should be simple, they should be relatively well defined, people should understand what they mean. And yet, even when it came to these issues, there was some potential for confusion. So, as it says in the summary, two-letter strings were derived from the ISO 3166-1 Alpha 2 list, and therefore it wasn't something that was determined by ICANN or an SO or AC. It was an established list of the ISO. And it's subject to change because by the very nature of countries and territories, they change and there are developments with regards to the abolition of particular countries or the establishments of others, and the list is therefore flexible. When it comes to the way the applicant guidebook defines two-letter strings, it says that applied for GTLD strings in ASCII must be composed of three or more visually distinct characters. Two-character ASCII strings aren't permitted because they are part of the ISO list. So that's a fairly strict and fairly simple definition of how we treat two-letter representations of country names. So again, when we go back to the work of the study group, this was, for lack of a better term, the simplest, easiest, most definable representation of country and territory names as it relates to PLDs. However, there's always a caveat, and that is that the list is not static. So it could always potentially change. But, of course, there's always a finite list of, or a finite definition of a finite number of two-letter codes. When it then goes, so continuing on, when it comes to three-letter strings, they are, again, when it comes to country and territory names, defined by the same ISO list. And this is acknowledged by the applicant guidebook. And... again, it's Alpha 3 codes as they relate to the ISO standard, but it's also dynamic because it's derived from the two-letter code. There are some historical anomalies, as we've noted in the executive summary. .com is part of the Alpha 3 list and should technically be prohibited, but it's part of Comoros, and that was just a historical anomaly going back before there were current provisions in place. And there are other Alpha 3 strings that are protected for various reasons. .NIC is an example because it's a technically reserved term, but it's also the three-letter code for Nicaragua. There are various other examples of that. I'd used some other examples in the past, which were just common three-letter terms, three-letter words that could have been used. Some have been prohibited, some are allowed, some aren't, and it's the historical arrangement. And one of the other notes to make as part of that, as part of the summary paper, is that there's no consistency between ASCII and IDN three-letter strings. That, again, that's just a historical observation. I was just going to pause for a moment. Again, I'm not part of the room at the moment, But is there a hand up at the moment? Lars or Bart or anyone else or Natalie, could you help?
No, Paul. Go ahead.
Excellent. Thank you. I've numbed everybody else into agreement. That's wonderful. And the third part of the executive summary, the third issue that we were looking at, aside from two letter strings and three letter strings, was the long and short form of form names of countries and territories. So,
Paul, there's just maybe that's for historical reasons. Jaap just entered in the chat that alpha three strings were always considered irrelevant in the early days of the internet. That's why the alpha two strings were picked at the time.
Yep, thank you very much. That's a very good observation. The relevance or otherwise of the strings is worth noting now, but and I acknowledge that back in the day, back at the time, they may have been acknowledged as irrelevant, and therefore other strings, three-letter strings in particular, may have been utilized, even there, though there may have been a potential conflict. But the point is now we're at the stage where we're trying to analyze whether there are or are not conflicts and whether there are or are not concerns, and what consistencies or inconsistencies may arise. But no, that's a very good point. Yeah, thank you. When it comes to long and short form versions of country and territory names, when it comes to the applicant guidebook, it prohibits country and territory names in all languages, which is a very broad definition. It was a catch-all statement that was inserted to provide a overall protection for the use of country and territory names. But the problem is that once you start looking at the number of languages, that all languages was the definition, you start thinking about how many languages potentially are out there and how many country and territory names are out there. The number of permutations is just amazing, and you end up with, largely speaking, an unenforceable rule when it comes to an overall rule, with the exception of taking it on a case-by-case basis. And then different organizations and have different definitions, different lists, different names, their interpretations of what they call a country or a territory, and therefore it is very difficult to maintain a definitive list, and no one could argue at the moment which one is authoritative. This results in, as we've said previously, unpredictability, and not just for, and this is why we have CCTLD participants and GTLD participants, potential applicants for new GTLDs, etc., involved in this group, because any of the unpredictability affects all stakeholders. So no one is exactly sure as to what we can do in terms of interpreting a language or the script that we use, or how current policy can apply, depending on those previous factors. So, again, it's a complicated area, and that is just scratching the surface of what the study group that preceded this working group looked at. I just wanted to pause there because that was essentially just my reading through of the summary paper, or the summary executive summary that Lars and Bart had developed. Just wanted to stop for a moment to see if there were any questions from anyone at the moment.
I think Jaap has raised his hand, and Annabeth as well, Paul.
Oh, thank you. I'm lagging, but yeah, please go ahead.
Yes, I want to add something to the long and short foreign names discussion in summary. in the original report, there is a big table about where various sources differ. And I have to report now that there had been a new version of ISO 3166 published in, I think it was November or in December, very shortly. And basically, the text now says that the ISO will take the United Nations Terminology Database, UNTERM, as the source for the names of the long and short names of the countries. And to that, actually what also happened beginning this month is that some of the names have indeed being aligned now with the UNTERM database, and if they exist in the UNTERM database. And the other thing we need to mention is that the long and short names are actually changing even more often than the codes. I mean, I think over the last 4 years, Bolivia changed its name 4 times. Nearly every time, I mean, it's the plural nation of, with a kind of different system in, depending on changes in the constitutions. And that happens with a lot of countries, that there are some subtle differences in the names over the years, although the code maintains the same. I mean, that also explains why, I mean, it's said that Armenia has 10 different historical names. Well, that's part of the reason. The code is still the same.
Thank you for that. Yeah, that's a couple of very good points you raised there, and it just serves to highlight the way in which these lists are dynamic, and the way in which an authoritative list is difficult to establish because, well, things. And now I'm properly in the Adobe room, so I take Carlos's point about Bolivia having coup d'état every other year. That's a very valid point. These things change, and one can't rely, or an organisation can't rely on a static list of names or representation of names. Annabeth, I know you still had your hand up. Would you like to contribute now?
Sure, thank you. Actually, the more we come into letters, like long, we have short form, long form, three letter and two letter strings, and the longer the names are, the more complicated it will be. And all these different languages and all the different scripts, it's as we have talked about in the study group, it seems to be very, very complicated to have a list of anything at all. But when we go down to the three-letter strings and the two-letter strings, at least we have a kind of format that it's possible to handle much easier in a way, even if these representations also ends up in long and short form names, it's so many variations, like Jab said, and they are changing all the time. And another point is that if you look historically, .com doesn't mean, it's not a geographical kind of thing when it's in use. It's not in. It's not possible to confuse it with .co, even if .co has been using their country codes more commercial than in the original form. So it is a difference if we should have the three-letter codes ISO in competition with the two-letter code for the same country, or using them as a more generic term. So that might be useful to think about as well.
Annabeth, thank you for that. Were there any other comments before I headed on? I was just summarising the paper that had been circulated to everyone and presented in the Adobe room, but were there any other further comments before I continued on?
No, not really, Paul.
No, thank you, Bart. The next item of the agenda was we were heading on to how we were going to plan ahead. So it's difficult at this stage because this teleconference was largely a reintroduction into this group's work for 2015. I acknowledge that we've been largely distracted by the fact that we had a commentary that we focused on to submit to the GAC or a subgroup of the GAC late last year. So for the most part, we're basically just trying to get back into the rhythm of things before we have a meeting in Singapore. But the plan was for the next step that we would have some sort of option paper, so something that would look at each of these categories, and we'd only bitten off three. We'd only grabbed three of the areas that we were talking about and a bit had drawn a distinction between some of them. Realistically, I don't think this was a major agenda item. It was just an acknowledgement that perhaps the group might work towards some options, some ideas, some how we would identify the issues that we have with regards to country and territory names before Singapore, possibly on the next teleconference, and then better develop them when we meet face-to-face in February. And that was largely the agenda item, as far as I understand.
Alternatively, Paul, say if you look at the overall agenda, say the Singapore meeting is going to be a turning point, in the sense of at that time, say now we've been working on the say establishing the baselines for future work. So that's the three major deliverables you alluded to in your introduction. And this group needed to establish whether that's still applicable before we move forward. So that's done. That's almost completed now. The next stage would be to check the feasibility of a framework, and if the working group considers it feasible, then we start moving into developing. So that's the real substantial work. I think, and that's what Lars and I have been discussing, it might be useful that, say, for the next call in preparation of the Singapore meeting, we draft a kind of high-level paper that throws in some options for a framework to get some idea of the group itself. And these will be extremes to understand, say, where the group is with regard to its thinking on feasibility, or to trigger a discussion on feasibility. Because I think by now we need to really get into the substantive work of this group itself.
That's right. It's Paul here again. If I could paraphrase what you've said, this is really where we're getting down to the detail, to the hard work of the group. And,
yeah.
And that's not summarizing, not going back over what we've looked at before, but could we as a group propose some sort of framework going forward for how country and territory names could be treated in a unified manner, or in unified is a lazy term, but a consistent manner, as opposed to the way things are currently, and that's what the group really needs to start heading towards.
Yeah, and as a first major decision, whether they think it's feasible, and in order to get there, you need to do some iterations.
Yes, that's right. Again, it relates back to the work that the study group performed previously, which was we put out case studies, we put out examples, and that gets people thinking, and that's what we intend to do, and hopefully study group working group members will agree that we'll proceed with that sort of modus operandi for this group, and hopefully we'll get some ideas back.
Yeah.
the next just to note, the next agenda item that we had marked down was a review of issues that need addressing. These were a couple of ideas that Lars and Bart and some staff had put together in terms of are there any issues with regard to the two-letter codes, the three-letter codes, and also the long and short form names of country and territory names that I'd summarised previously. I don't actually want to go through all of it, but because it is that they were a preliminary set of questions, were there any comments for anyone in terms of some of the issues of the way, aside from what Yap had said, the way two-letter names are treated, two-letter codes are treated at the moment, three-letter codes, and also long and short form? It was just a preliminary question, and I don't think everybody needs to work through those, but were there any comments at the moment? Carlos, are you actually on the teleconference at the moment, or just only on the Adobe Room?
I'm on the phone, and yes, I have Adobe.
Did you make a comment there about, you just made a comment recently, I just wanted to ask you to expand on that.
No, I just, as Bart said, they want to develop some cases. I wanted to raise some issues because some tree-string regions have a very community-based approach, and on the other hand, we have now a more commercial approach on the Latin American region with the .lat. So if they are going to look for cases to present and discuss, I was suggesting that we take a look of who is proposing it as well, because maybe Jordi, who is on the line, can explain a little bit the background of the Catalonian case, which in my view is totally different from the commercial approach that the Latin American group is taking. But we can develop that further down the road. It was just a note for Bart and Lars. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. We'd use various examples throughout the work of the study group with regards to terms like, as we've included there, .nic and other otherwise reserved terms, and then other examples that I'd thrown in, such as .can for Canada or .and for Andorra, which were not necessarily deserving of specific protection or specific being drawn as an example, other than that they are common terms in the English language and that might reasonably be applied for as a new GTLD. So there's any number of permutations there, and that specific issue is the reason why we have such a complex task ahead of us. I didn't actually want to work through all of the questions that have been listed on the agenda in terms of are there concerns about predictability or non-predictability, because the group has collectively been hit with that or had that issue raised with them on too short a notice. But I did want to note that we are now, from this point on, going to get into the core issue of how do we deal with the variability of the way country and territory names are treated, and this is really from this point on probably our next teleconference, and then as we meet in Singapore, we really need to tackle some key issues, and those questions that Lars had developed as part of our agenda for this call probably serve best as an aid memoir for the time being, something that everyone needs to think about, especially as our co-chairs work together to develop an options paper or a straw man, as it may be called, for the upcoming meeting. Lars or Barb, did you want to work through the logistical details that we were going to have about upcoming meetings? Because I would be a terrible person to rely upon to handle that.
Lars, go ahead, or should I do it?
No, it's fine, but I can go ahead. Thanks.
Yeah.
Lars for the transcript. The next meeting for the full group is we have another conference call before Singapore. It's on Tuesday, the 27th of January at 11 UTC, so the same time as today. So yesterday, 2 weeks from yesterday. I suppose that's the next agenda point, but I might as well cover it here. Talking about the GAC, the group spoke about meeting with the GAC in Singapore, and the feedback is that it'll be unlikely that the subgroup on geographic names, which this group has written the letter, will actually be able to join our group when we meet in Singapore. But they welcome attendance from our group to their meeting when they are discussing geographic names. And this will take place on Wednesday in Singapore. I think it's the 11th of February. That's scheduled at 10:30 a.m. at the moment. But I'll send a reminder of that to the group as well. But I think it'd be very good if as many of us could be there and point the subgroup to the points that were raised in the letter that was sent to them, and maybe start the dialogue. And then our meeting in Singapore, but I have to refer to you. I think it's on Thursday morning.
No, it's not on Thursday morning. It's on Monday afternoon, 12:15 until 2:15. Reason is to avoid overlap with accountability group and other discussions. So it's right in between, and to allow for a meeting with the GAC. I don't know whether they will show up, but it's scheduled for 12:15 and until 2:15 on Monday afternoon.
Yes, thanks, Bob.
And it's Paul here. I think that's pretty much covered our planned schedule as we move forward. We will have another teleconference, and our engagement will get a little more dense as we move on. The key issues are obviously that engagement with the GAC and or at least the subgroup of. I understand it's problematic, but it's something that we need to remain conscious of and keep acting on. And other than that, I just want to move on to, is there any other business in terms of further agenda items before we wrap up today?
Paul, Annabeth has raised her hand.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Annabeth, go ahead, please.
Hello, it's Annabeth Lang here. I just wanted to say a few words about the question from Maxime. He asks a question, does our field of interest covers only TLDs or ccTLDs too? And the reason for that this is interesting for the ccTLDs and also primarily for the governments is, of course, that the ccTLDs, they have been the ones representing the different countries. And then the governments and the GAC representatives representing the governments, they are interested in not having too much confusion between the generic terms, the commercial use of TLDs, and the country representations. That's why the country and territory names has been protected for this round. And the reason behind the thoughts of the governments as well. In that way, the CCs are involved. Do you agree on that, Bart? You've been there from the start. And Paul.
Let Paul do this.
Yes, absolutely, I agree. This is an area where there's great synergy between CCTLD managers or country code representatives and governments with regards to their representation of country names as far as we're concerned. So our primary focus is, of course, as CCTLDs, the two-letter code representations, but there is a potential and particular interest from governments when it comes to three-letter codes and all of the other permutations that we are yet to discuss. So I wholeheartedly agree with Annabeth. Acknowledging that I don't want to particularly keep everybody else online unnecessarily, were there any final comments that anybody else wanted to raise as other business, or well, in that case, thank you very much, Lars. Our next call was, sorry, could you reiterate that for me again?
Sure. It's the Tuesday, the 27th of January, 2 weeks yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And that is the call in which we will start getting into. This was largely a historical experience going back over, hopefully setting a platform for common understanding amongst working group members of where we had been and where the study group had come from and some of the issues that had been raised. Not necessarily answering questions, but we will get into the nitty-gritty, so to speak, of answering that as we get on to the next call and subsequent ones. So if there are no further comments, thank you very much all for your time, and I look forward to speaking to you on the very next teleconference.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks,
you.
Everybody.
Thank you. Bye, all.
Okay, bye.
Thank you very much, Evie. We now stop the recording. Have a good day.